You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
That's a strange energy for a Monday.
We had a three-day weekend, Derek. I feel great.
Yes, but then we all have to return to work.
We do.
Not that we're here to muddle it down for you anyway. I just like the heavy music, the good morning. Yep. Like, brother, good for you.
Three-day weekend, got to relax a lot. Was in Toronto yesterday, saw the Halos lose. We don't have to worry about that.
Let's go Jays!
Great weekend.
Your AL East leading Toronto Blue Jays.
Winners of eight straight Toronto Blue Jays.
Buffalo baseball, baby.
I'll tell you right now, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Blue Jays are a fun watch, man. They really are.
They righted the ship from an early season slump. It's a shame that we're not even halfway through the season, or like we are relatively close to the halfway point, but like,
that's fine.
They're playing their best baseball right now. I would like it to just continue, please.
You know what I see with this, though? And to be fair, I went into this, obviously, as a Halos fan. Me and my brother were talking about this a lot yesterday. I want to attend a game as a Jays fan. I don't hate the Jays. I would happily go there and watch them play like Cleveland or anybody else in the AL West.
They're also downright dominant at home, though.
They are very, very good at home. The Rogers Center was packed yesterday. I mean, legitimately, it was a great crowd for a Sunday afternoon game. You know, the end of a series, it was packed in there. It was beautiful. Thank goodness the dome wasn't open. Having walked much of that city in 88 degree weather, if that dome was open, we would have been in for a long afternoon. It was not, which was good.
Only the Mets have a better win percentage at home right now.
But man, they're a good watch. And I'll tell you this, I went as a Halos fan with the assumption that they lost. Okay, you're going to be sellers at the deadline. If you're a Blue Jays fan, I don't know their prospect pool, like in terms of like how, you know, great they are graded wise. I know all of them play for the Bisons. I don't know necessarily how well they are graded. But this was something the last time I went to Toronto that was exciting was that the Angels were buyers in the deadline trying to make a playoff push. But that's all. It was a playoff push. It wasn't for a division title or anything like that. Toronto fans, you got to be having that feeling and that excitement that comes around of we're going to be buyers at the deadline. We're going to do something to push now for an AL East title, let alone just a playoff spot. Because the Yankees continue to play poorly. They won yesterday against the Mets, although late the Mets had a real chance there to take that game again and sweep them as well. But being in Toronto, it's such a nice sports city as well, at least for baseball from what I've seen. I imagine hockey might be a little more aggressive. But like there was some jeering and stuff like that because I'm fairly certain the three people or the two people I went with, we were the only Angels fans. I'm almost certain of that. Definitely in our section. And it was just, but it was good camaraderie. It was fun. The crowd was awesome. The city's beautiful. I love going to Toronto. You know, now it's every few years. I end up making like a weekend trip out of it with my family or even just the day trip. The food scene's incredible. And the weather, the two times we've gone, has been great. And it's just, that is something, if you haven't done, you want to go see a major league ball game. If you've been to Pittsburgh, Cleveland too, I absolutely recommend going to Toronto. The drive, by the way, Derek. I know we all know you get on the QEW and just go.
Yeah.
It never feels as long as it actually is, quote unquote, is. Like, I think from my house, it's about a 2-hour drive. But from like the border, it's technically an hour and a half. It never feels like that, even once. It felt like such a quick drive outside of getting out, dealing with, you know, post game traffic. It was great. I absolutely loved it. If you haven't gone, I cannot recommend it enough. And it helps too. The Jays are a great watch now. You can't even look at their run differential and give them heat for it. They're plus 11 now. Derek's mentioned outside of the Mets, plus 12 now. Outside of the Mets, they have the best home winning percentage in baseball.
And it's tied with the Dodgers.
And their lineup, Derek, yesterday, and I like this now, at least from the games I've seen, they don't show batting averages really anymore. Like as like the highlighted thing, you can find it when a batter comes up. But they'll show the whole lineup's OPS because that's really all of your hitting statistics put into one. That lineup, they're just playing on a different level right now. I was so prepared for most of that game to see George Springer hit like a 2-run home run, hit like a 3-run home run, the way he's been on. Guerrero hit a monster double early in the game. I got to see Trout home run. That made all of it worth it. I'll be completely honest. The first time I went, he was hurt. I got to see Ohtani hit a monster double. So I got to see the guys do their things, and that was cool. But can't recommend it enough. I've loved the sports in the summer so far. The NBA and the NHL was super interesting really up until the end, NBA especially. And then you've got the golf has been really good and the baseball has been really good. You know, even if you're not a Yankees fan, they've been interesting, whether it's been positive or negative, they've been interesting. You know, to start the year, they're scoring historic pace kind of run numbers. I mean, we've talked to Sal Marano a few times, especially you look at the Aaron Judge numbers that were going on
right,
there.
Especially early on in the year.
And how ridiculous that was. And now here locally, you know, I don't necessarily know how much Buffalo makes up Toronto Blue Jays fans. I know the last two days, Mike Schoep's been here alone. We've taken calls of like how you got there. It's been a lot of Cincinnati Reds fans. Surprisingly, that's really been the team that's run
the Jays
away with
don't
it.
Have as huge of a following, despite the fact that Buffalo is the minor league affiliate. They did stray away for a little bit and then got back to Toronto, but they've served a couple of teams.
The Mets, so, I know, is one of them.
The Mets is one of them, the Pirates, Cleveland.
Pirates is a weird one.
I know, but it happened.
I can get to the other three. The Pirates just makes zero sense.
I mean, it was also a decent amount of time ago. But so you can see a lot of origins going from there as well. You know, it's also the one team that requires you to have a passport to go watch.
That's right.
So that might, you know, turn some people off. For example, if I'm going to make that drive, why not just go right down the 90 to Cleveland or, you know, the Yankees are on television, and so there is a bit of a convenience factor, despite the fact that Toronto's, in terms of mileage, the closest.
Yep.
But I don't know how I gravitated here. Like, as a kid, I just liked the color scheme.
Fair. It's a good color scheme.
I also, as a kid, liked the number 49, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know. We've all got our red flags. It's okay.
Hey, high 40 numbers are good numbers. 47. Everyone out there knows what I'm talking about. Christian Benford knows what's up.
Yeah. John Lynch made that number great.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, I can't really say the same about 49. Like, why as a kid did I pick that one?
See, the thing with Benford is, you know, it's deliberate. It wasn't just that he was a sixth-round rookie corner. It was he wore a number in the 40s at Villanova, too. He's doing that deliberately.
And that's why it's great.
Which is a red flag. But not in the bad connotation. There's a screw loose there, but we like that in our football players. You like
there's
that in your athletes.
Screw loose there.
Because a corner who plays as good as he is,
you and this
should be like, Patrick Surtain, I'm going to wear two. I'm going to wear a number in the 20s. He's like, nah, 40s. All right.
You
better be good.
You and your war on numbers is always going to be fascinating to me.
And it'll never go away. But yeah, it was a great time. Absolutely loved it. If you haven't made the trip, I cannot recommend it enough. I will say, though, I did not have a lot of signal yesterday, so I was catching up on the Bo Byram news very much an hour or two later than
everyone else was. Oh, so we're doing
this right now? We can do it real quick if you want to.
I guess we're doing this right now.
Him and, Connor Timmins, they're both going to arbitration.
One was player filed, the other was team filed, so there is differences. Let that be known. Team filed allows for the player to pick the term on contract in terms of arbitration filings, which could mean that the Sabres are either going to walk themselves into UFA with Bo Byram in 2 years, or Byram picks a 1 year and we either do this all over again or it facilitates a trade and he's up for renegotiation with another club.
So if he picks the 1 year, he doesn't walk straight to UFA, it has to be the 2 year then?
I think that's the case.
Okay.
Unless because it's player designated, that might be like the, oh my God, this might be the Ottawa Senators Mark Stone fumble.
Sweet.
I don't know for sure, so I'm not going to put myself into a spiral here. The one positive I can gain out of this, it puts a clock on talks.
Yes, Byram does need to play two more seasons before he's an unrestricted free agent.
Yes. So, but also we've seen awkward dealings before with that, most notably with Mark Stone in Ottawa. So I'm not going to guarantee that that's the situation, but because of how the Sabres have been run over the last 14 years, that fear is not gone away. However, this puts a clock on negotiations. That's the one positive of this. Whether it be a trade or you're going to play with Byram for this year or even the next 2 years, for example, it puts a clock on it. We're not going to be waiting until August to figure out what's going on with the situation. No, we're going to get a timeline here now. And either he ends up getting traded or, as I'm suspecting at this point, this is the roster for opening day.
Yeah, that's I know where you've been sitting at, is that this is probably what the team is going to look like.
This is what the team is probably going to look like.
Give or take a few prospects making the opening night.
And it's more about Kevin Adams staying firm on something, and I commend him for this, of not taking futures for Byram and thinking that this is the best I'm going to do right now is have Byram here next to Dahlin, because that's not a bad thing at all. Like, oh, he's a Dahlin merchant. Yeah, so what? He's playing next to Dahlin again. Do we want him to look better for a prospective trade next year? Maybe. That wouldn't be so bad. Or even to start the year, like I've been thinking about a Matt Duchene situation.
Yep.
There are worse fates than having him play again, play next to Rasmus Dahlin again. Like, come on. It doesn't have to be divide by zero kinds of logic here.
Right.
Put the guy next to Dahlin and he looks good. You know what scouts use? They're eyeballs. You know what he'll look like when he's playing next to Dahlin?
Yeah.
Really sharp. Because that's something Dahlin can do for a lot of players. And Byram is a quality skater on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, skater, I say. You know, like, obviously the analytics do say that he is a different player without him. Mm-hmm. But he skates and moves well. That should be enough to entice a team. At the beginning of the season, that's looking to get a little hot or take advantage of a hot start. That said, say the Sabres start strong, like they did this past year. They come back from Europe. They kind of steady themselves up. And in November, they're actually looking like a competent playoff threat. And then December happened.
Yes.
We don't talk about that. But if the Sabres get off to that kind of start and make a Byram trade, that won't sit well.
No.
But at that point, you're weaponizing, hey, we got off to a strong start. We're going to keep him so that we don't go into a tailspin. That's probably what you're doing at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think, in terms of defense, yeah, there's a lot worse rosters you can have on opening night than the decor of a pairing of Dahlin and Byram, Power Kesselring, and Samuelson and Timmins.
Mm-hmm. When you do put it like that, it's like, okay, if the netminders are solid.
Ready? If that's your decor on opening night, you're going to find out hard and fast what UPL really is. Because if you can't get it done with a decor like this, either remove the entirety of the assistant coaching staff or you got to get rid of UPL.
Yeah.
Like, there's something wrong. If defensively, you are a bunch of sieves again.
Mm-hmm.
You have a team with Rasmus Dahlin. You should not be this bad defensively, especially when he has gotten far better in his own zone from where he was as a rookie.
Norris Trophy votes this year.
Sixth.
Yep.
The league has taken notice. Also, you look at zone entries against him. Those metrics were really good.
Mm-hmm. They were, absolutely.
But now you got to get the rest of the team going here, and that's why you get Kesselring. That's why you get Timmins. You try to create depth within your defensive pipeline, in your defensive core, that it gets you to where you've got to be.
And the hope there now is that if Dahlin does get hurt, you won't lose 13 in a row, because the defense without him is a mess. And even with him is not great.
And that's also a claim for keeping Powell or keeping Byram for these next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That is a claim. We're keeping him because there's a lot worse fates to have, say Dahlin goes out, than a Byram Power, not even necessarily tandem, but like, you're splitting the duties.
Yeah.
You guys are going to be the ones carrying the group around right now while Dahlin's out. Heaven forbid. There we go. We're going to fix that right now. That's the case for keeping him. I don't know. Because, like, the Paterka thing, that happened all so fast. Byram, there's not been nearly as much noise about it other than, like, you know, we hear whispers that he doesn't want to be in Buffalo. But if that's the case, well, Kevin Adams has proven you don't want to be here. Get out, and I'm going to force it out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get out of here. We're going to find the best package we can, and that's it. I don't know if that's happening here. as much as the noise or like the rumors or anything like that mm-hmm. have been going around. Because there's not even as many legitimate insider reports on these things. Just reports that there might be a trade happening.
Yeah.
Again, Paterka, outside of Saravalli, nobody really had that until it showed up suddenly and extremely. And that's where I feel like that Elliot Friedman, like 30 for 30 thing.
Yeah.
It's about what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the Sabres still never wished J.J. Paterka well.
Yeah, that's not. Well, actually, I'm kind of excited to see when Utah comes to Buffalo for the first time this year.
Yeah, like
that's actually.
But also, we're never going to get that real answer. You know that. You ask a hockey player about that. Very rarely are you going to get the real story.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get hockey player talk.
Oh, so, boy.
Yeah.
So exciting.
We're going to get the. We thought we had a chance to go to a different situation, and something mm-hmm. like that mm-hmm. along those lines. With that many us. Byram, I don't see as much of that. So, credence to wherever they are right now, but I'm really leaning toward the feeling. This is nothing I have on information other than my gut feeling that this is what they're going to settle on. Because the offers aren't good enough, he's going to take his ball and go home. And this is the roster day one. Question is it good enough?
Well, I've seen a lot of people go, is it 15 points better? Because that would have been the playoffs.
I would dismiss 15 points because when you go into a tailspin like that.
Yeah, right. You mentioned the 13-game losing streak. That's not, it shouldn't happen again.
It's not that it's not something that should be replicable.
Mm-hmm.
It sinks you. You were playing in last place for 4 months.
Yeah.
That's dreadful. But also, you managed to not be the team in last place at the end of the year. Which tells you you were actually better than that.
Mm-hmm.
You were better than the 13-game losing streak. It is something that's criminal that should not be happening.
Yeah.
And it's a team collapsing upon itself. Not having Darlene for half of it sure doesn't help.
Right.
But once you start losing more games like that, it really starts to affect you. If you pick up even 3 wins out of that, it's still a double-digit losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
It's just almost like incomprehensible how that happens, let alone to a team twice in 5 years. But that's neither here nor there. They're not 15 points lesser of a playoff team. But they're also still not a playoff team. And I'm looking at Columbus and what they're building, and I'm thinking, they've passed you. I look at what Montreal has done and then decided, we're not sitting on these laurels. We know that we need to get better as a roster, and they're adding. Ottawa, going to stay the course on this one. I think Ottawa might be the team to drop off a little bit.
Okay.
They're very volatile.
Mm-hmm.
But are you going to be the team? There's no way the Rangers are going to be that bad again. Not with Shesterkin in net. Can the Islanders have a fast retool? They have Ilya Sorokin.
Mm-hmm.
So you have quality goaltending. Can they inject enough youth in there to be a problem again? Pittsburgh, dead. Boston, super dead.
Mm-hmm.
And making more baffling decisions than even what I can think about with the Sabres. It's tough to look at this team and go, where can you take advantage of a hole in the armor to infiltrate the postseason? You have to be better than Ottawa, Montreal, Columbus, and probably both New York teams. Pittsburgh, I think, is toast. Boston, Philly, also toast. Even Philly's trying to change some things around, though. Detroit, I don't know whatever to make of Detroit. Like, yeah, the Red Wings.
Let's go.
The Red Wings had 86 points, but they never moved the needle for me
mm-hmm.
as a team that is going to be just hanging around but not good enough to make it. And Eisenman's on year 7.
Yep.
But you have so many teams. Like, I'm thinking of 3 that are dead in the water. And much like how the Sabres in these losing streaks that have happened over the last 3 years, can you overcome all of them in the standings? Are you going to get past that many teams in front of you? Because Toronto's not going away. Tampa's not going away. Florida's definitely not going away. The Metro, you'd think Washington and Carolina and New Jersey are all pretty safe.
Mm-hmm.
They have young cores that can really keep things going. And now Washington also gets to play without the pressure of a goals record for Ovechkin.
Yeah, now it just kind of becomes play.
Now it's just play hockey again.
Mm-hmm.
And while I think Washington's a team to drop off, are they worse than top 3 in the Metro?
Well, no, because we've talked a lot. The Metro is specifically not very good.
Not very good.
Even in the top end.
But even say Washington drops off a little bit, are they enough to be a playoff seed holder, mm-hmm. automatic qualifier? Or are they now a wild card team that you also have to fight against?
Mm-hmm.
Because in the Metro, when one leaves, another has to take its place.
Yeah.
Of those teams that I mentioned, the New York teams, or Columbus, excuse me. Like, one of those takes that place. And Washington's now in the thick of the same thing that you're fighting for,
yes.
which is 2 playoff spots. You are not fighting for the division. You are not fighting for an automatic 3. You are fighting for one of the 2 wild cards. Because the Atlantic, as we've mentioned, is stacked. Toronto is not going anywhere. Yeah, they lost Mitch Marner.
They'll probably not be a cup favorite, but they're probably still going to be a playoff team.
They're probably not getting 108 points again, but they'll settle within, say there's a 10-point drop-off without Marner. Okay?
We're still in the 90s.
Yeah, you're still in the 90s, still very comfortably hanging around a playoff spot.
Yeah.
A 10-point drop-off gets you to 98. And I think that Toronto's a good enough regular season team that I don't think they're worrying about that. Marner had a lot to do with their regular season success, but they still have Matthews. They still have Nylander. They still have Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
They still have Morgan Riley. They still have a good team.
They signed Matthew Nyes to
Matthew Nyes is extended.
They're expecting Nicolas him to take
Waugh
that next.
Probably fits in perfectly as a middle six forward for them.
So, yeah, so they're not going anywhere. A lot of
Tampa's
the top teams
definitely
aren't.
Not going anywhere.
Yeah, a lot of the top teams aren't
going. Florida, annoyingly so. Hey, we're going to retain all 3 of these guys. Thanks for killing all the fun, Panthers.
Keep going. Keep winning.
Gross. So who are the Sabres surpassing?
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, with this roster that has a massive hole in its top 6, and you're banking on either Jack Quinn or Isaac Rosén to fill that void, are you just hoping to make the playoffs bass-ackwards?
Pretty much. 803-0550, the number to call. If you want to talk to Sabres, the Bo Byram arbitration situation, do you even expect a trade to come? Or is this, like with Derek, the roster that we are likely to see opening night? Also, want to touch on the Bills, and I tweeted this out a little while ago, and this will sort of be the topic of today. ESPN has James Cook in their top 10 running back list. He comes in at number 8. That was done by Jeremy Fowler. And so the question of the day is, who on the Bills do you think will earn top 10 honors this time next year? I have a player on the defense. I think they absolutely could be that player. I want to talk about that coming up after a quick timeout. We'll take your calls at 803-0550. This is WGR.